Hello, everybody out there. Flip Schultz here. Welcome to episode number 3 of What's for Dinner. I'm actually talking to you right now from my hotel room in Stockholm, Sweden. I'm here in Stockholm, as opposed to Stockholm, Wisconsin, which is a very popular place in the States. Anyway, I'm currently on tour in Sweden right now, part of the Raw Comedy Tour. Very proud to be here. And with me, in my room, in purely a professional comedic sense, nothing beyond that, nothing perverted, is the, I guess you're the, would you say, president or the...
That sounds a bit pretentious. I'm the founder, I would say. Very good.
The founder of Raw Comedy, Morten Andersson. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah, that's perfect. I'm really impressed with your Swedish. But no sex at all?
No. Well, I mean, that's how I got on the tour in the first place.
Yeah.
I was kind of hoping. Sorry. No, you have no trouble getting laid. I mean, let's just start out with that. Morten, you can look him up, is a very good-looking guy. And, I mean, it's insane. Every time, like, we've been hanging out, just chicks just are fucking drawn to you. So,
but I don't know how much that is me or it's just, like, anyone being on telly. I think girls, it seems.
So you're on television out here.
Yeah.
What do you have your own show? Or are you just a famous comic?
No. Well, I got my own show, which is called Raw Comedy Club for Channel 5, which is one of the... It's the fourth biggest TV channel in Sweden.
How many TV channels are there in Sweden?
Five. No, but I guess we've got like 11 channels. So but it's a nice channel, and they kind of specialize in entertainment.
Very cool. And your Raw Comedy Club, that's just basically like a stand-up showcase kind of?
Yeah, it's really clean and simple. It's a stand-up comedy show. I'm hosting it, and we've just recorded our fifth season.
So congratulations. Thank
you. We're doing
it. So anybody listening out there, the key to getting women is getting a TV show.
I think so, yes.
God.
I don't think it's got anything to do with my looks at all.
Well, you're a good-looking guy.
That's very nice of
you. But we were, like, just the other night, we finished doing our show... in Stockholm, right here at the Hilton, and we're just at this bar, and we're just checking out this one girl, and she just looks right at you, and I saw you go into the bathroom with her, too.
She followed me. Did you see that?
She followed you into the bathroom?
She followed me into the bathroom. Seriously, she did. And then I went in, and then I came out, and I knew she was going to be there, and I came out, and she went, hello, and I said, hi, and like, so I'm introducing myself in the bathroom, which is kind of weird. Then you got to be something wrong.
Something wrong with her?
Yeah, I mean, you don't follow someone into the... Okay, she'd been looking at me and I was looking back, so maybe I... And she saw I was leaving because I put my jacket on, but it's still a bit stalky.
So, did anything happen in the bathroom?
Yeah, I fucked her, but... No, nothing happened at all.
Oh, man, that was a great story.
But she seemed like she had something in her eyes that just, you know, that little crazy thing.
Oh, all girls have the crazy in their eyes.
Not all, I think, but some of them. But I'm not the kind of guy who goes for that because, like, the sex is going to be better. I just thought, like, it'd be just probably might be good, but then she'll be hard to get rid of.
Yeah, totally understand. By the way, when I say all women have crazy, all women do have crazy. Just some are more pleasant crazy. Some are cute crazy.
This one was more crazy.
You could tell.
Psycho crazy, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's totally under, like, when I'm married now, but when I was single, it's like you'd have that argument with your mind and your dick.
Yeah.
Like your dick's going, come on, we can get laid. And your mind's like, I could tell she's out of her mind and this is not going to be worth it.
No, and I'm never really understood that because the whole thing of like, if a woman is crazy, the sex is going to be better. My experience is it's just like crazier, but not nicer. It's just like harder and just more screams. And then she starts calling you daddy.
Yeah.
And then it really becomes...
And then her father shows up to join in.
You know what you're talking about.
Totally.
Yeah. No, so I gave her a miss and when I was on Friends instead.
You're a better man than I, because if I was, I mean, that, because, again, you get laid all the time, but a girl like that doesn't approach me that often, so I think my dick might have won in that argument had I been single. But veering, not that we have a topic, but veering away from what I want to talk about, which is basically comedy.
Yeah.
So you, founder of the Raw Comedy, you have the TV show that I guess you created as well?
Yeah.
Okay. And how long have you been a stand-up comedian?
I started 2000.
11, 12 years.
Yes. Yeah. And so I was 25 when I did my first gig. And but I wanted to become a stand-up since I was 16.
What was your influence?
Eddie Murphy. And that's why.
Really?
That's why the club is called Raw. It's like a tribute to him.
Oh, wow.
But it was really Delirious.
Great special.
Yeah.
Delirious.
That was the one that made me go like, wow, I really want to do this one day.
What was your favorite part of Delirious?
All of it. I think I could. I mean, now it's been ages since I saw it. But I've also seen Raw a couple of times. So now I just mix them up. I never know which one is which one.
Well, one he's in blue leather. The other.
That's how you do for them.
Yeah.
You're into the clothes. I was more into the jokes.
No. Yeah, like I'm watching going, oh my god, those clothes are awesome. Yeah.
Is that the blue one? Oh, no, let's watch the one with blue clothes.
I want to watch Raw. That's when he's all blue leather.
No, but all the impressions.
I was going to say, the Delirious one that would always got me.
Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson, I think, was a Raw.
Is it really?
I think, yeah, that was the one where he was like, saying like Michael Jackson.
So I've learned that love is a lesson. Oh. And I learned love needs expression.
By the way, that is the worst Michael Jackson impression I've ever heard.
Sorry, Michael, if you
He's
hear this.
He's rolling around in his grave. No, you're right, I was thinking in Raw when he talks about how he made fun of Michael Jackson and Delirious. That's right. No, my favorite Delirious was the... actually, did you even get this reference with the Honeymooners? With Ralph Cramden having...
No. Okay, but so I got... Yeah, I mean, I got the jokes, but I didn't know who he was.
Did you do research to find out?
No, I wasn't that hardcore, because there was so many... I actually got most of it, so I was kind of... That joke I didn't get.
Gotcha.
But I got the joke, but not like who he was.
Right.
It was like someone like Teddy Pendergrass. I mean, I kind of know who he was, but you would get the jokes anyway because, you know, okay, he's got a really masculine voice.
So that's so you didn't even need to know where he was coming from to understand what the jokes were.
No.
That's
because it's not, I mean, it's not really, the stuff he did was like universal. And that's like some of the most of the international comics I bring over here is people who got like universal stuff that travels. Mm-hmm. If you're like a topical comedian, like some British comedians just talk about politicians or sports athletes or famous people who's famous there,
right,
we're not going to get it because all comedy is about references. So, but with Eddie Murphy, and I mean, then I think you could get most of it because it's like I'd seen it on TV or just like he was talking about stuff that you could relate to anyway.
That's very interesting because a lot of it's funny, a lot of comedians, when I tell them I come to Sweden, the first question they always ask is, do they understand English? Which I always think is the stupidest question.
Yeah.
Like, why would they bring me over if they don't understand? They just want to look at a Jew in glasses for an hour. That's really it. I tell them that, you know, like you said, the audience is funny.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter as what it is as long as, you know, I tell them as long as there's no specific American pop culture references.
Yeah.
That Swedes just obviously wouldn't relate to or understand just because they don't know the reference. But yeah, that comedy is universal, and as long as if you talk about very relatable subjects, it's funny, it's going to work.
I mean, it is, and that's why, I mean, obviously that Seinfeld is so huge because everyone could watch it. You could be Saudi Arabian, Swedish, or from Sri Lanka, you would still get the jokes.
Right.
Everyone has maybe dated a girl who's got a weird laugh, or got a friend who's got a weird laugh.
Right.
And that's one episode in Seinfeld. So then, he's being uncomfortable with her, because we've all been in that situation.
Right.
And we could relate to it. Whilst other series is not lasted as long because they're more towards this one kind of jokes, while Seinfeld is about like everyday life.
I noticed that too, like because I watch some television, you have a lot of American comedy over here too, not just Seinfeld, but you have what the hell did I see? Like How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, Two
and a Half Men.
And then actually some really good stuff as well. Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Really good stuff as opposed to that other shit.
Yeah, I don't. Matter. I'm not a huge fan of Two and a Half Men, but I like Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
I love, and that's also a bit like I think everyone could relate to being frustrated,
just awkward situations.
Yeah, and I mean, then he's like psycho, but that's funny because he's just like everyone can relate to that thing, which is that he's just frustrated. And that he gets irritated, and it, like someone is going to give him advice of how to go to this place, and they're looking at the map, and he can tell straight away that this person doesn't know where we're going, and he wants the map back because he's stressed. That anyone can relate to that, and that's funny. And then you, if you just put your touch to it, then I think you got something.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying now to write the show, my first solo show. And then I'm choosing the topics to be universal, because my plan is to do it in English as well, the same show, but
like a sitcom kind of show.
No, it's a stand-up show, like a stand-up special, and then do that in Edinburgh at the Fringe.
Oh, the Fringe! Yeah. Oh, very cool, man.
So hopefully next year is the plan.
Okay,
I don't think I'll be able to. Well, yeah, maybe it's even possible to do it this year, but I think then I have to give them a call pretty soon.
Yeah. Why? You probably shouldn't do it till you feel it's ready.
I got all the main things. It's going to be my past, my presence, and my future, and thoughts about becoming older, drinking way too much,
and fucking girls in bathrooms.
Yeah, exactly. Why did I say no? Why you might ask. Well, I'll tell you why.
That should be the name of the show. Why did I say no? Just all about the pussy you could have had.
Yeah.
In the bathrooms.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Congratulations, by the way. Okay, so as far as now comedy in Sweden, so you've been doing comedy for about 12 years now.
Mm-hmm.
How long has, because they've told me like stand-up comedy as, I guess, or awareness of what stand-up comedy is has only been around for maybe 20 years or so?
Yeah, in 1988 was the first club opened here.
What club is that?
It's called Norra Brunn, and they're still running. Okay. They do Tuesday to Saturday every week.
So 88. So that's just over 20 years. About 22 years, or 24 years.
Yeah.
That oh, that's.
And so it's really the genre is really young here.
And before that, there was no stand-up comedy in Sweden.
No, it was just like the stand-up we would get would be from stuff we saw on TV. Like you could see Richard Pryor or like Steve Martin, or a lot of people, the older comics refer to as comedians like Lenny Bruce or Robin Williams, of course.
Of course.
But then...
But how did you guys see that kind of comedy? Was it on television?
This is before the internet. Or like, or importing, I guess, VHS videos and buying them from, or just going over to America and buying them.
Oh, really?
Just watching it live, going over there. But, then some older comics here, they weren't that old then, but they're really old now. but they were in the, like, 40s. So they got influenced by going to these trips, et cetera, and seeing these films. So they started it.
And these older comics, were they already doing stand-up here? Or?
They started, like, no one had heard of it. And then they just had this place, they opened up and started, like, to people, but it was new. Like, someone was standing with a mic telling funny stories. And it wasn't, like, funny stories. It was, like, people talking about themselves. And then the whole genre developed and a bit young comedians came in. And then it was a big hype and it became really popular on TV. And it had lots of seasons, and it was a really popular show. And they released CDs and everything. And then,
sorry, this started in 88 with the club, or this is before the club?
No, this is when the club started. And then, like, between 19 and 93, I think, it was a TV show as well with all the comedians that worked then. I watched it, but I wasn't a part of it at all then. I started year 2000. So, but then, just before that, the genre had a really, it wasn't as popular anymore, because no new comics started doing stand-up. It was just like nothing. So then they started doing courses, two of the guys that are professional comedians.
So they started teaching comedy classes?
Yeah, they did comedy classes. And then they got the whole genre happening again. So they weren't like, that was a good thing, because they realized that the genre would probably die unless new comics were added to the scene, instead of thinking that we would steal their jobs. So I did one of those courses. It was a two-week course. And then from the people who did that one, I think it was like maybe 10 or 15 people in the class. And I still think that five or six of us is still doing comedy.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's so. Do they still teach the course now, or is that
now it's like so many comedians? So then now it's never been more comedians, working comedians in this country than now.
How many working comedians would you say there
25.
Are?
25. No, but I think But seriously, probably like 100. So it's still like nothing.
I was gonna say that. But how many people live in the country?
9 million.
Oh, yeah, that's still nothing.
No. And then, but like, I'd say 100. Then, I mean, there's more comedians that work, but stand-up comics, 100, I'd say, roughly, given or taken a few.
These are people who make their living doing comedy, not just...
No, I'd say if you talk about people who make a living, and then what kind of living, it's all relative, I guess.
People
who survive doing comedy, 50.
Really?
Yeah, not more than
that. In the whole country?
Yeah.
That's fucking insane. Yeah. There's more comics who make that living in my house back in the States.
Yeah.
I can't believe 50 comics in the country make their live. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, girls like guys who are funny, so that's probably why I can fuck girls in the toilet. Because the competition isn't that great.
I got to move to Sweden. Fuck.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. It's not a lot at all, and still it's more than ever. And the fun thing is that the genre now is really viral in terms of that it used to be people in the 40s making jokes about, like we talked about before, references. Yeah, what's a 40? Now I'm really generalizing here. But a person who's around 40, their references is going to be about being 40. So they were making jokes about being 40 for people being 40. Mm-hmm. So that's why it kind of died out. There wasn't any new influences coming in. Now you've got like people with immigrant backgrounds. It's black, white, Asians, and you've got fat people, thin people, models, cool guys, nerdy guys, guys from different parts of the country, people with kids, old comedians, really young comedians.
So it's a much wider, I guess, the audience has gotten bigger because there's more comics that they can relate to.
Yeah, before people could say, I don't like stand-up comedy. No one would say that today. Then they would say, like, well, I like Flip Schultz, but I hate that Morten Andersen guy. He sucks.
A lot of people say that.
Yes. Yeah. I'm kidding. So, no, but that really is the case. Now people could say that they don't judge a whole genre, but they could say, like, I really like this comedian, but this one is not really my cup of tea.
And I think that's I always said that's the essence of comedy. It's all subjective.
Yeah.
And one like you said, one person could like you and not like me, and it doesn't make them wrong. It just makes it their opinion.
Yeah.
And it's not wrong.
And you see more comics than ever as well doing solo tours in this country. And we weren't there. Like, only 5 years ago, that wouldn't happen. You had one or two comedians in the country that could tour and sell out theaters.
Who's the highest or right now the biggest drawing Swedish comedian?
I'd say without a doubt, a guy called Magnus Bettner.
Is he on this tour?
No, he performs at my club a lot. He really likes what we're doing and what we've done for the...
I've heard of his name.
Yeah, but he's way too big to do a tour when he only does 15 minutes. He sells out 1,000+ theaters. I mean, just in Stockholm, he sold out a theater that holds 1,300 people 8 times.
Wow.
With one show, and now he's doing a new show again, so he could go anywhere and then just charge a lot of money and then talk for 1.5 hours. So he's very good, and he did the Fringe not this year but last year, and got really good reviews as well in English. So they said he was the best thing to come out of Sweden since Bergman. So
since Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So he's very talented, and so he'd be the biggest, but in numbers of selling tickets and fans.
No, let me ask you the question too, because this is going to make every American out there listening feel like a complete fucking idiot. But I would say, from what I've experienced, it seems like 99% of the population here in Sweden speaks at least Swedish and English. Excuse me, Swedish and English. Would you say that's accurate?
Maybe not 99%, because some people are really old, Some people are really young.
Well, so the experience I've had, everyone I've spoken to, I've happened to meet.
People speak
on the
really good English here. They
yeah, do. Very good English.
But it's the difference between us and some other European countries. If we go abroad, if you go to Germany, for example, it's really nice to speak a language that they don't understand. That they don't understand what you're talking about. English. That's English.
As a Jew, I don't really go to Germany that often.
No. What Ian Stone said as well, a British comic who's Jewish. He said it's a tough crowd. They didn't go for his jokes at all. His quirky Jewish type of humor.
Jew humor doesn't work too well in
Germany.
In Germany, yeah.
No, but they dub everything there. Their English sucks. And it's the same thing in some other countries as well. But whilst we don't, we got subtitles. So
Swedish subtitles over English notes?
Yeah,
yeah. I've noticed that.
So then you could pick up, you just read the words, and then you just learn a few words just by watching whatever TV show you're watching in English.
Very cool. And the question was, do you find it... I've never seen your act in English.
No.
Because on the tour, everybody speak Swedish except me, and you introduced me in English, which I'm grateful for because I know when I have to be there.
Yeah, and then we switch to Swedish again, so you feel like you're not a part of us.
Just a big fucking idiot. but you said you have done your act in English before.
Yeah.
Do you find that difficult? Because I assume when you write, you think in Swedish.
Yeah, I do.
Do you find the jokes are easy to translate into English from Sweden?
No, they're not really, because it's a different melody in the two languages, and it's a different rhythm.
Absolutely.
So you really have to think harder when you do it. That's what happened. I was living in London for roughly a year, and then the problem was the competition is so hard. That you don't get any gigs. And you could have like 1 week, if you had a good week, you had 4 gigs. And then it was going to be 2 weeks that you didn't have any gigs. And then you had one, and then you had two or three. And what happened is, like, the whole timing part of being a comedian, like, that's the most important weapon you have. You've got the timing. And of course, with my mother language, I got it. But being, like, doing it in English, I had to focus so much on just the language barrier to perform that I kind of lost the timing of the jokes when I didn't perform for long. I mean, I think it's like, if you don't perform for long, it's like starting a car, which is really cold. The engine is cold. So it was always getting cold. I could never, like, the fourth gig in a week, if you've done three, you would start getting really good. You had the timing. You could improvise. Someone was heckling. You could handle it. But if you just got one gig a week, you're not going to improve. So that's why I kind of felt, no, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, I can't imagine that, because I know, like, if you don't do some gigs for a while, you get rusty.
Yeah.
And then to not only perform, but perform in a second language and keep all that straight in your head, that's got to be really stressful.
It is.
So what, can you just give me an example of, like, a joke in Swedish? You got a message.
I think it was yours. Mine is on no sound.
How the hell do I get a message? Words with friends. My mom's playing Words with Friends.
Ah, nice.
an example of a joke that you do in Swedish that has a different sound in English.
Wow, that's hard. I know the first joke I ever did, the first joke in English, my first ever gig in London, was at a club called Up the Creek. Mm-hmm. And they had three open mics. And then before that, they had like a headline, and then I had a headline in the end as well.
So wait, a headliner opened the show, then you had open micers, and another head. Really?
Yeah. It's a bit strange, but it was like two really good comics as well. Glenn Wool, a Canadian comic, was opening it, and an Australian comedian called Steve Hughes. Both of them have been to my club later. Really, really good. And there's lots of stuff, by the way, if someone who listens wants to check it out, Raw Comedy Club, you just go to YouTube. So there was three open mics, and
we'll do the plugs at the end, don't worry.
But
a fucking plugger.
That's why I'm here. I'm going to plug something later.
Could have plugged something in the bathroom the other night, but yeah. She was too crazy.
The first joke was, the guy before me got booed off. They're like, "You're shit, you're rubbish." And I went like, "Wow, this crowd is tough."
Wow.
But then again, they'd been laughing a lot to Glenn when he was doing his jokes, and so was I. And it was one part where he did some jokes I didn't really laugh, and they didn't either. So I'm thinking, like, there are a good audience, and the guy before me was shit. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm going to keep thinking that I'll do well.
Mm-hmm.
But the first joke I did, and I couldn't do this in Sweden because, again, it's references, but there it worked. But I said, my name is Morten Andersson. I live in, I'm from Sweden. But I live in London now, and I do love London because it's a multicultural city. It's people from all over Poland. and that was the joke. And here it wouldn't work because it's not that many Polish people. But in London, they're everywhere. So that was a joke, and it worked. And then I did another 6 or 7 minutes, and that was it. And they would never have me back. So
did you not do well?
No, I did really well. But it's one of the most popular clubs, and they only had 3 open mics a week, and they had so many, like, they could get great comics who are more famous than me, that could also maybe
who's more famous than you, Morten?
Well, of course, no one.
No one.
But in that city, there's some really great comedians, and since there's not so much work, they could get someone who could actually sell some tickets as well, just doing an open mic. So it's crazy.
That's well, it's all political, no matter where you go.
Like,
Now in Sweden, though, I guess you're one of the top comedians, though, because of the TV show and the tour and everything.
Yeah, I would have to say
So you do bring in, like, people to the show and everything.
Yeah, I book all the comedians, both.
No, I mean your name.
Oh, it does. But then again, I kind of like the entrepreneur bit of the things, because I started doing radio and TV when I was 20. Radio when I was 19, national radio, and then I was a TV host for 6 years between I was 20 and 26. And then basically half my life I've been in TV or other things or doing comedy and doing TV. So I'm kind of getting fed up with being recognized. It's like I'm way off huge. There's people who are so much more famous than I am, so I can only imagine how they feel about getting recognized. I love this fact of standing on stage and being funny, but I get paranoid when I'm out walking. I see that everyone, if you go on a date with a girl, you see people looking and stuff like that, and I hate
really?
It. Yeah, I hate that. It's really a small city, this. It's only 1.5 million in the whole city center. And, like...
You mean in Stockholm?
In Stockholm, yeah. So it's not that many places you could go. And if you go... Everyone knows. It's, like, such a small city. And I hate that part of it. But So I'm kind of doing not many gigs anymore.
So you have, it seems, what the goal is for a lot of comedians, which is that... recognition and that fame, and you don't like it. Is it because you just like privacy, or?
Yeah, I like privacy. If I could, I'd love to live in America. I mean, like in New York or LA. I love New York, for example. But
you've been over to New York and LA?
Yeah, I have.
Did you perform there?
In New York, I did. I got a friend, who's a New York comedian, is called Yanis Pappas. He's a Greek guy.
Okay.
And he's got a room he does once a week, so I did that with some other comics.
And how did you find your material worked over there?
It worked okay, but then it was just like, oh, of course you should do the club. And I went, oh, I don't know, and then we did it. And then, I did okay. No, I did a lot better than... I did Edinburgh last year, and I did 8 gigs, and then I did really well, because then it was so many gigs...
In a row,
and then a promoter helped me out, because he was working with Magnus Bettner, that I mentioned before, and he's the one who wants me to come over and do more gigs. So then it's easier then, because then you got a lot of gigs at the same time, and he'd be driving me around instead of me getting on the subway and going for 2 hours in some outskirt of London to get booed off. So then he kind of like, oh, I don't find this funny anymore. But no, I think I've been, I don't know, I to me it feels more important for me to feel good about myself and to I've made a lot of changes in my life lately in terms of started training and trying to party less and to eat healthier and stuff, because I'm not getting younger. So it's more important for me to feel good than being famous for something. It was really important to me a couple of years ago. Now I don't care anymore.
You're about.
I just want to be happy.
No, that's. I think that's the key to everything.
Yeah.
We're about the same age. You're late 30s?
Yeah, 37. Turning 38 in May.
Oh, almost birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm 37 too. I'm finding that too. Like I'm getting older, and don't get me wrong, I'm still chasing whatever. Still want to reach that level of. I guess I want to reach what you have in Stockholm, in the States, as far as just my own show recognition, all that. But I'm also finding that things are just not as important.
No.
But yeah, do you feel your body kind of getting just... It's weird. Like, you mentally, you still feel like you're young, but physically you're feeling like 37?
Yeah, I know. I'd say I feel physically better than ever.
Really?
Because I'm...
Fuck you.
Yeah, but mentally I feel older. I really do train a lot now, because I want to feel better about myself.
This just goes to show different we are. My lunch today was one of these from Wayne's Coffee.
That's terrible.
It's a little chocolate thing.
Yeah, no, but I feel the kind of thing you feel when you feel more relaxed, maybe in your body or something. That's what I feel in my head now. It's not a mental stress that I have to make it. And you know what a weird thing is? I think that's when it actually happens. Because then you don't have this, like, some girls, sometimes when they're getting a little bit older and they still don't have kids, you can just see in their eyes that they're so mentally stressed about it.
Right.
I think comedians could have that if they don't have their break. And then you look, what do you call it?
Desperate.
Exactly. And when you get older, I find that I don't have that, I'm not desperate anymore. And that's more appealing, I think, to people, because I walk up on stage now, it's just, I don't really care if I bomb, or if I don't care if I want to make them laugh, but it's just, it's not important. I'll still have some dignity if I walk off that stage and they didn't like me. And that's really nice to know. And that makes me relax so much more. It makes I feel my material is better than in a long time, if maybe even better than...
No, that I definitely agree that if you're... Because it's so funny that you had you were comparing, I guess, your career to a relationship, and how desperation, kind of people can read it, as far as like men can read desperation from women can read it from men, and an audience can kind of read it from a comedian. It's so funny because like I'm in the same place now too, because I've been doing comedy for, this is actually going to be my 20th year from
really?
When I started. Yeah, I started young. Like, when I go on stage now, like you said, of course you want to make them laugh, but you want to make them laugh kind of on your own terms.
Yeah.
You don't want to try to, do you know what placate means?
No.
You don't want to try to change your act to appease an audience.
No.
You want the audience to like you and,
exactly.
and get what you're saying. Yeah. And I think I totally agree. It's more important that we're being ourselves on stage and having them like us for us, as opposed to us trying to be somebody else for an audience.
Yeah. And then you build an audience because they come to see you, because you talk about stuff that you like.
Absolutely.
Instead of like, that's why I don't want to do, and that's why I think it's so great that so many comedians do solo tours now, because they make the same money they would make doing corporate gigs.
Mm-hmm.
That's really big here. That's why comedians get into this genre, is to do corporate gig, because you get lots of money. And what happens then is exactly what we're talking about now.
You get...
You become, like, mainstream, because you don't want to, like, upset the company or whatever, so you kind of can't just do whatever you want, because then you won't be booked. So the more this genre develops here, the more the comedian can be true to themselves and do solo tours and make their big money instead of and get big audiences instead of creating some kind of shit act that is just working for everybody.
Right.
And that's exactly what I wanted to do with my club as well, because this other club is nice, but that is really a safe kind of club. So I wanted to challenge Sweden into doing something else where you could talk about anything. I mean, if you would do your Stephen Hawking jokes in some other club that wasn't mine in this country, you'd be hanged.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, but you'd be fine because it's a different climate now. But it really is. It's a different club. It's a different vibe.
Do you find that now? For lack of a better term, the non-mainstream comedy, the non-safe comedy, is more popular?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So
not like outrageous comedy, just going up and being outrageous because.
No, but I mean, like, for example, okay, what I noticed that when I talk about marijuana on stage,
yeah,
and you know, and in America, marijuana is like, especially California, it's nothing. It's so common, and a lot of people do it, and it's not a taboo subject. Over here,
you were almost putting tax on it.
Yeah, I mean, well, in California, it's basically legal.
Yeah,
you know, you have to just have a prescription for it, and it's not even a if you get caught, it's basically a parking ticket.
Yeah,
you know, it's not even a it's a small little fine. But I noticed here, and also when I performed in Finland, that the subject of marijuana is really very people don't want to they almost don't want to laugh at it because they feel that they're.
They're taking sides. They're choosing sides.
Yeah,
yeah.
Is would you say that is more of like something that is not mainstream? That
yeah, because I mean it's we're so way behind when it comes to the way we look upon it. I mean, if you go to any other European country, like not only Holland but Spain, Portugal, Greece, Italy. England, everywhere else, I mean, almost, it's so much more liberate when it comes mm-hmm. to marijuana. And they're pretty strict when it comes to other drugs. But in Sweden and the other Scandinavian countries, it's like it's all looked upon as drugs. It's like it's no difference between heroin and marijuana. And then you see people getting
so... I've never sold my car for marijuana.
No.
Just putting that out there.
There
are no needles with marijuana.
No.
But that subject, as far as like, so marijuana is considered a very edgy topic to talk about.
Yeah, that's why people would go, if you would say, because then, like, you know, the first comic we booked who's been talking about marijuana or trying to buy it off from stage.
I've never tried to buy it. Well, somebody offered it to me, but yeah. I said I'd take it, not buy it.
yeah, but that, it is a touchy subject, and it's just like stupid. But then you see like people being pissed out of their head, drunk.
Yeah,
old men like throwing up on streets and like fighting and that's okay. But to have a giggle and a smoke, that's not okay. It's just yeah, it's just
yeah. You know what's amazing? Like I came here in 2007 with Pablo Francisco. Mm-hmm. And one night I was with one of the guys from the tour, and I was actually videotaping. And we're walking down the street, and we see this, like, a guy lying in the street. And we thought, you know, the guy passed out or whatever. We get closer, he's bleeding, like, off his head is, like, busted open. He's bleeding, and his pants are down. And we're like, what the fuck? Should we do something? And there were people across the street going, we already called the police, don't worry about it. I'm like... So this is okay. This just having a guy bleeding with his pants down the street is okay, but smoking a little weed is going to be the thing that that really turns people off.
Yeah,
that's a really big double standard, I think.
It really, really is. And I mean, I think if it came down to now that we had to choose one poison in this country, if mm-hmm. it was like we had to choose now, 2012. To go for marijuana or alcohol, without a doubt, it would be marijuana because the effects, the bad effects of alcoholism or like crimes or violence is of course a lot higher with alcohol than with marijuana. But now it's more a concern of we don't need another drug than the one we've already got, which is alcohol. So it would never be legalized here, and they're gonna still look upon it as like really strict and that like so, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
And that's also a topic that I guess a lot of comedians just don't talk about here, is marijuana.
Yeah, and I mean, because it's going to be hard, because people, if they laugh and or like, yeah, clap or stuff, it's like they're almost like telling outing the police. Yeah, they're outing themselves, going like, yeah, I'm with you, man.
So would you recommend I not do that joke on the store?
I don't know. I mean, I don't mind. I'm.
Well, I know you don't mind.
No, but I mean,
we've had this discussion.
Yeah. No, but I mean, yeah. If you want to go for the laughs, yeah, you should probably get rid of it. Yeah.
Very, very, very good way of saying don't do the fucking pot joke. No, yeah. That's one of the examples, I guess, of changing my act to appease an audience, but at the same time, I also don't want to alienate an entire audience on this tour.
No, and it might also, like, you have to sometimes, I guess, as a comedian or an artist or whatever, like, choose your wars.
Yeah.
So you could still be you, but you could choose which type of you want to be. If you're thinking like, okay, maybe I could have these 1,000 people loving me, but if I do this joke, I might lose 50% of them. Not only that joke, maybe they'll think of me like a pothead, because in this country it's not okay. Well, then, if you want to do a solo show and you want to, I mean, come on, bigger, it might be...
Well, there's got to be at least 1,000 potheads in this country that come out to see me.
Yeah, I think so.
They probably want to, but they'd forget.
The pot tour.
I like it.
Yeah.
The pot tour.
Wasn't we talking about a podcast as well?
A podcast?
Yeah. I said that to you.
You did say that
podcast.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, it's funny. The first two that I've done, I was doing it with a buddy of mine in the States, and both times he was really high during the show. I was sober, but he just got really high.
The first
high.
Two episodes of this?
Yes.
So
technically they were podcasts. This is actually the first sober... This is only
this
the third
one.
Podcast. This is the first podcast, not the podcast.
Yeah.
So congratulations. You're the first sober
Thank
guest
you.
We've had. First sober person aside from me on the show. There was something... Sorry. And by the way, we're sharing one mic, so if it gets a little weird at times, it's because we're kind of moving around, but I think you can hear us. Okay, here's something completely off topic as far as comedy for a second, but right now it's January, what the hell's the date?
29? 29, maybe?
I think 29th or 30th?
Yeah, something like that.
No, it's the 30th.
30th,
yes,
uh-huh.
30th. And it's winter here. It's now 5:45 at night. And it is pitch black outside.
Yeah.
Sun goes down about 4 o'clock nowadays. Because I know for me, it's...
How much do I want to kill myself during wintertime?
It's fucking me up so bad that the sun doesn't really come up till about 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yeah.
It goes down at 4, so that's only, 7 hours? Of light? Because, again, it's fucking my body clock up a lot.
Yeah.
How do you guys deal with this? I mean, is this just normal for you, or does it really affect you?
No, it does affect us. I mean, the suicidal rate in the northern part of the world, like Finland and Sweden, is among the highest in the world, I think. I know it is. And that is a lot of times during this time of year.
Yeah.
So some of us don't cope so well, apparently. And... for myself, yeah, I don't like it either. I like when it's sunny and light, and that's why I do all this training and things. It's not because I'm like some kind of sport nerd. I just need it. You need to get these. Do you call it endorphins?
Endorphins.
Endorphins.
Yes.
Yeah. To be able to handle this darkness. Otherwise, you get.
Yeah, because I mean, like, because I would, I thought that because you're born and raised in Sweden.
Yeah, in Stockholm. Yeah,
in Stockholm. So even after 37 years, you're still not used to this.
No, well, yeah, I'm used to it, but I don't like it.
Ugh.
So I mean, I travel a lot during this time of the year. Normally, I'll go to like Thailand for a month, and then now after the tour, I'm probably gonna go see some friends in Sydney for a month. And just see some sun to even cope.
Yeah, come to LA, man.
Yeah, it's been a really long time since I was there, and I've only been there for a couple of days. We were in Vegas for 3 weeks, and then we were recording a TV show there.
In Vegas. Wait,
yeah.
What were you doing? What show were you doing in Vegas?
It was called Players. It was sponsored by a Party Poker. Poker company,
mm-hmm.
And it was a mix of like MTV Cribs. and a travel show. So me and another guy were hanging out with poker stars. So we were at Daniel Negreanu's house.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I fucking love
And
the
then
guy.
Liz Liu.
Yeah,
we were in her house. And then we were playing tennis with Gus Hansen. And we were hanging out, driving, what's his name? The Finnish superstar poker player. Some other guy. Yeah, but we were down the strip. We were renting really cool cars and just like being players in Las Vegas and filming it. But it's
Tell me you got laid doing that in Vegas.
I did, with a really old woman.
Really old woman?
Yeah, like really old.
Like what? Like 80?
Old? Not that old, but probably 60, maybe the oldest one I've ever been with. Yeah. She was the manager of one of the book pros. She was my friend took a photo of her and sent it to me the day after, and I wanted to kill myself.
Oh, so she wasn't
so
like
he had to erase it. He had promised me to never show it to anyone. I'm not proud of that one.
We've all had ones we're not proud of.
Yeah, that was mine.
How long ago was this?
This was 6-7 years ago.
Oh, so she was almost twice your age.
Yeah, okay, maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but she was pushing it.
Which I mean, she wasn't good looking, or she?
No. But I. The funny thing
what
is,
what happens in Vegas?
I don't know what I was thinking.
Ends up maybe, on a podcast.
I think it was the heat.
The heat?
Yeah, got to my head.
Whatever you say.
I overdosed. I came from this dark shithole and came to this sunny part of the world, and then just, I think, it hit me. And then
I think that should be the anti-drinking commercial right there. Just you and that old woman, and just go, this is what happens when you drink too much.
Yeah.
And just have you waking up in bed with her like,
ah. Yeah. She was in shock, I think.
She was in shock?
Yeah, I think so. I think, I was as well. But, no, that it was fun. It's a fun society. Maybe I should go there, yeah.
Yeah, because you said you've been to L.A., but you haven't performed out there.
No, I haven't.
Well, I'll say this right now. Next time you get out to L.A., you call me, and I will hook you up with some shows out there.
Okay, that'd be really cool.
Because I think, I don't know your. It's so weird because like I hear you and the other comedians on the show
yeah.
we did the other night getting all these laughs and doing really well, and I don't understand a fucking word you're saying.
Yeah,
but I would assume that it's very funny. So I would actually love to see your act in English.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to come over. I really would because it's been a long time, and I've just been in New York so many times. So it would be nice to go to some other place for a change.
Yeah.
And definitely to do some work. It would be fun because I love doing stand-up in Swedish as well, but it is a different thing, different story when you do it in another language. Just being like now this August, being in Scotland, performing for people all over the world in a language that isn't my first language, it is it's an ego boost.
And I mean, that's bet, yeah.
Even though I don't want to be a big star anymore, I'm fine with what I've got now. Of course, I'll do it for the laughs. So to be able to do it in a second language, it's great.
Give me if I hate putting you on the spot, but give me like a quick one of your like really big jokes that work here in Sweden. In English, I just want to see if it would translate.
Okay, a big joke.
I mean, I just mean like a joke that works pretty steadily.
The kind of the jokes I've done in English is kind of really harsh. Like I got a terrible joke, which is
please.
All right, okay, I'll say okay. I just found out from my doctor that I can't become a father, and then I just really wait for the audience to go like, oh, I said oh. Unless I stop. Coming in girls' faces. so it's a really dirty joke, but yeah.
I like
it. No, they don't like it.
Really?
The girls really hate me.
Oh.
And the guys just go, wow, I can't believe you just said that. But it really is.
They react that way in English or Swedish?
Swedish.
Really?
And in England, they've been more fine. But I kind of, last time I did it, I ended it with it. And I said, I know you're going to hate me for this last joke, but I can't. This last thing, but I have to tell you. And then it would kind of puzzle because I didn't say joke because then it wouldn't work with the doctor's thing. Or maybe I even did and it worked. But I think you trick them in, you make them become like feel empathy, mm-hmm. and you just like slap them in the face with cum,
like a little right turn.
Yeah,
slap them in the face with cum.
So
wow, that's the quote of the show: slap them in the face with cum.
But that's not really me, because I really, the stuff I'm, like now, the stuff I do now is a lot more about me, like we said, and that joke is just stupid. So it's more like, I've been talking a lot about that I think I drink too much, and that I talked to my therapist about this, and he said, we did this big test with like loads of questions, and he said, okay, you're drinking in the wrong way. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you're drinking as soon as you're happy. And I said, well, don't everyone? And he said, well, yeah, but you think of alcohol. If you play pool, you drink. If you go to a football game, you drink beer. You need to start learning how to have fun without drinking alcohol. So I went out from this therapy session, and I was really, like, pissed off. And then I come out, and it's like sun is shining for once in this country. And it's all these people sitting out drinking. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, this calls for a beer. And then I remember I can't drink when I'm happy. And then I got really pissed off, so then I could drink again. So I do more kind of that stuff, but more storytelling, which is me going through that. I've had some rough years with like lots of partying, seeing lots of women, getting into this relationship with this lovely girl that I'm not seeing, unfortunately, at the moment. But how that changed me, and like being afraid of not meeting someone in the future, or what kind of father would I become, la la la. So more stuff like that rather than jokes about slapping cum in people's faces.
That's very interesting, because like I find myself doing that too. Like because I'm married now, I did a couple of bits on that, but I still stick to kind of silly stuff too, like the Hawking's bit.
Yeah,
because I think as we grow as people and as comedians, and our material grows with us, we're still kind of hanging on to some silliness too, to almost keep it balanced.
Yeah,
yeah. Do you find that when comedians start in Sweden doing comedy, are they more on the silly side, or are a lot of comedians now being real and talking
about? A lot more comedians are being real now. I think the genre has matured.
Do you think is that natural, or is it again like some influences from American
stand-ups? No, I think that is because people are able to do solo tours. They've done so many TV shows, etc., that they've become so popular that they now can go on solo tours. And no one's going to be able to, not the audience and not the comedian himself, is going to be able to listen to 1.5 hours of silliness. It needs to have a depth.
Right.
So I think that's, it comes with the package.
So do you feel like a lot of comedians are being, forced to go deeper? Or is it just something, again, natural?
I think it's natural, but it's not everyone. It's still people being a little bit silly. But if there's a trend at the moment, it definitely is that people are getting more into to talk about politics or religion or racism. Or just like, I think a lot of people started writing solo shows, and then you kind of go back to your roots and think like, who am I? And not so much, okay, opening the paper and going, okay, yeah, so Barack Obama, jokes about him. And it's like, really, who, I don't, so I think, yeah.
Are audiences responding more to that here?
I find, at least for me, because I've only been silly for 10 years, 11 years, so this is the first time in my life, I think I've had, for me, a perspective through this relationship. I got a distance from myself and from the life I've been living, because I've not been, I've not seen it before. I think the more real you stay, the more hardcore fans you will get. Because then they get to know you, and that's like any artist. Like if you go to see a show with someone who's singing, and they won't talk at all in between the songs, you don't really get to know them. And if they say something that this is a song I wrote when I broke up with my blah 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 blah, you get like I really like. Then you feel more personal to it. So I think if you wanna become big, you should talk about stuff that concerns you. Bill Hicks said that as well.
Yeah.
And Magnus Bettner, just to take the comedian who's most popular here, that's all he did and all he does. And he's been doing that for many years. From the beginning, he didn't give a fuck about what anyone else thought.
Wow.
He just did his thing. And he's had his curb of being popular has just gone over the roof.
That's so cool. I love that. I love when comics get personal. And like, do you know Louis C.K.?
I love Louis C.K.
He's one of my favorites.
Mine as well. I mean, that's like, he combines the silliness with depth. Like, this thing with, like, saddest hand job in America. It's just like the perfect routine for talking about a sad marriage, but just in a funny way. And that's exactly what I want to do. And then I'm never going to be on his level, but you should have goals, I guess.
Totally. Yeah, I love that you even said that bit particular. Like, that when I saw him do that joke, I just went, like, you just go, oh, my, that's fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
It's exactly what you said. It's real, but there's still an element of silliness and almost theatrics to it.
Yeah.
It's one of the most perfect, like, perfectly rounded bits that I've seen in a long, long time.
Yeah.
And I love that he works on. Does Louis C.K. ever come over here?
He's the same guy who's done this tour together with you and me, Berang.
The promoter
here in Sweden. He brought Louis C.K. here.
Oh, really?
So he was here, like, 2 years ago. And it was amazing. It was, I think he did 1 hour and 40 minutes, and then he got an encore, and he came back and went like, I got nowhere to go anyway, so, and he did another 25. So, yeah, it was an amazing show.
That is so cool. I love that. Who would you say that were, like, I guess some of the top three biggest American comics over here that would draw over here?
Dave Chappelle, Chris Rock, and who would be the third?
The Birdman. Chipmunk guy.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know about the third one. Am I forgetting someone? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Louis C.K. is not really. Jerry Seinfeld, of course.
Seinfeld.
Yeah.
What about, because I heard Jeff Dunham's very big over here, too.
Yeah, he wouldn't get as many people going as Chappelle, Rock, or Seinfeld.
Really?
No, he's more like 5,000-6,000 people here, if he would do it. My company did Jerry Seinfeld. We sold 9,000 tickets, and they were expensive.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that one venue, one show?
Yeah, 9,000.
9,000? Holy shit.
Yeah. So, that would be the biggest one. And Chris Rock, if we would do him here, I think you could, if you just do everything in one gig, it'd be so cool to do it in, like, summertime, outdoors, like a day, and then you just have comics just doing before he's on. And then I'd say you could do 15,000-20,000 here. Yeah.
Well, I actually have his phone number. I will call him.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. If I had Chris Rock's phone number, I would I'd be using that a lot.
Yeah.
So cool. Okay, we're just about done here, man.
Cool.
To wrap it up, Morten, my friend, give me, let's see, what do we want to wrap this up on?
Money?
Give me money, number one. You know me very well. You were talking about Eddie Murphy Raw. Give me another great Eddie Murphy impression of your favorite joke from Raw.
Ooh. I would say I love the part when he tells the audience that he doesn't want them to fuck up his jokes. So he's actually telling a story in the end. That might be delirious as well. I can't. I'm not into fashion, so I'm not like you. But he says, I don't want you to fuck up my jokes. Then he said, goody goo. Then he said, that's some funny shit. And he says, I don't want you to do that, so I'm going to tell you a story that you can tell when you come home. And he says, a bear and a rabbit is taking a shit in the woods. And the bear turns to the rabbit and says, excuse me, you have problems with getting shit into your fur? The rabbit says no. So the bear wipes his ass with the rabbit. Thank you. Good night. maybe not the greatest bit, but it's
Okay, you know what? That's actually even better. Is there jokes like that are called street jokes?
Yeah.
Is there a Swedish street joke that you know that you can close it up on?
I'm not really good with that, so I don't really want to know why I took that example, because I'm really into the stand-up part, but if I should.
Okay, then give me
a Swedish one. No, I don't. No, I really don't know any good ones.
Okay, then do you have another joke about the slapping the face with the cum?
I'll slap you in the face with cum if you keep on asking me these questions. No, but it's just a great, it's just, they're all great. It's so, it's sometimes for me with comedy, if you see someone like with Louis C.K. or with those specials with Eddie Murphy, when you get so much information, you think, oh, I gotta remember this. And then it's just, it explodes in your brain and you get out and you don't remember anything.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't come up with any fun stuff from that, from any of those movies. I would just, and also I wouldn't do him justice. It would be I mean, we're talking about one of the greatest comedians in the world.
Absolutely.
So I shouldn't sit here and do his jokes.
Oh, you
even though I think that's a great idea. I've actually been thinking about it, to be the first karaoke comedian, to just do other person's materials, just choose the best bits and just do them word for word.
See, we call those hacks.
Okay. Yeah. I call them entrepreneurs.
And I call that a great show. Morten, thank you so much, man.
Thank you.
As you say, any plugs you want to do?
Not really. If people want to, I mean, we've been booking good comedy for a long time. So if you want to see any of the comedians we've booked, it's a lot of international ones as well. It's Raw Comedy Club at YouTube,
and your website's also rawcomedyclub.se.
Almost, it's rawcomedy.se.
Oh, raw comedy. Excuse me, rawcomedy.se, and Raw Comedy Club on YouTube.
Yeah,
and definitely look for Morten Andersen. You want to? It's ANDE.
And that's the stupidest thing, because my parents really didn't want me to make it abroad. They didn't have any ambitions apart from me making it barely here, because my name is spelled with MA. With a dot over the A, so no one will ever find me.
So it looks like Martin with an E, but it's A.
A with a dot, RTEN, and then Anderson with double S. I actually had the first check I ever got for a gig in English. It was in London.
Yeah.
And then she spelled my name MARTEN. And she said, is this correct, sir? I said, no, I'm sorry. It's supposed to be a dot over the A. because I wanted to be able to collect the money, otherwise it wouldn't match with my ID. So she writes out a new check and spells it MORTEN with a dot inside the O. That's it's like hieroglyphs. It's what the fuck, woman?
You got a bullseye.
Yeah, I got a bullseye.
It's a target.
So no, but it's stupid because we're the only ones in the world who got that letters.
I know.
I can't even check in when I'm going. So I probably won't be coming to LA because it always says invalid character. Please enter a valid name.
I know. Whenever I have to like spell something for my website, one of the dates, I have to Google Swedish words and copy the letter.
Yeah,
and then
it's stupid. Fuck this country with like not allowing people to do whatever they want.
Fuck this pitch black, depressing, gray country full
weed of hating,
but easy psycho fucking women. But again, Morten Andersen, Google the name very carefully, and you can always check me out. Remember me, flipisfunny.com, flip at flipschultz.com. Thank you guys so much for listening to this. Please keep subscribing to the podcast either at whatsfordinnerpodcast.com. Or on iTunes. And thank you guys very much. And if anybody in the Swedish area is listening to this over the next couple of weeks, from February 1st through the 11th, the Raw Comedy Tour is going to be hitting a bunch of cities around Sweden. So check out the website for all the dates. Morten, again, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
We will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Hey, door.
Hey, door.